come and share with you from the Word of God. Certainly, I appreciate the relationships that have been developed here with members of the Preston Road congregation over the past few years, working with Wade Hodges, your former minister, working with Farlan, and also Greg and Nikki Samuels come by and work with us in our food pantry. And he's already mentioned my wife works with a group of ladies, or they meet together and study. So it's certainly been a blessing to get to know the members here and work with you. And I believe God has some great things in store for us. If you have your Bibles this morning, turn with me to the Gospel according to Matthew. And Matthew, of course, is one of the synoptic Gospels. Matthew, Mark, and Luke are very similar. John is one of the Gospels, but John's writing is a little different than Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And of course, Matthew as well was a gospel that was written to the Jews. And so Matthew is going to, because of that, he's going to point out some things in his writings that some of the other gospel writers may not point out. But this morning we're going to begin at verse number 1 in Matthew chapter 1. The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begat Isaac, and I'm reading from the New King James Version. Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat Judah and his brothers. Judah begot Perez and Zerah by Tamar. Perez begot Hezron. Hezron begot Ram. And so this morning, for the next few minutes, I want to use as my subject, I want to talk about background checks. Background checks. Most of us, and probably all of us that are present here this morning, have been the subject of or subject to background checks. And it may have been because you were looking for a job, and what I've found, even now when you volunteer for nonprofit organizations, for example, I volunteer in the DISD school system, and because of that, I was subject to a background check. When we go to borrow money, to buy houses, buy cars, they look into our background. And any and all of us at some point in time have had some type of background check. But you know something else that I find that's popular in the world today is to go to some of the websites like Ancestry.com. And I was talking with someone the other day about that, and what does it cost to go to Ancestry.com and find out some things about people in my genealogy, in my family that lived before I did. And what they told me, they said, you don't have to be worried about the cost, because they said all you really need to do, if you're concerned about the cost, they said, just run for public office and they'll do all the background checks And they will put it on the evening news, and you don't have to pay anything for it. But this morning, have you ever looked into or looked at the genealogy and the background of some of Jesus Christ's ancestors? If you look at the family of Jesus, the family of Jesus includes men like Noah. And of course, we know about Noah and him building the ark. But after Noah built the ark, he had a drinking problem. But we find in Genesis chapter 6 at verse number 8 that the Bible says that Noah found grace in the sight of God. When we look at David, for example, and I don't have them listed in chronological order there, and that's for a reason, but when we look at the life of David, king of Israel, you remember David took a walk one day on the rooftop and started looking in some places that he really should not be looking, and there were consequences because of David and him looking, and it's, in fact, it's even reflected here in our text this morning. This is one of the things that that Matthew points out here. If you look at verse 5 in the text, it says, "And Salmon begot Boaz, and Boaz by Rahab." You know, and I could stop there, but I'm going to go on. In fact, all of the, and Boaz begot Obed by Ruth. I could stop if I had time and talk about her. And Obed begot Jesse, and Jesse begot David the king, and David the king begot Solomon by her who was the wife of Uriah. So when you look into the earthly or the legal background, if you will, of Jesus Christ, it might cause you some concerns. For example, here in the text, it talks about, and this is where I want to spend a little bit of time this morning, at verse number 2, it says, "Abraham begot Isaac, Isaac begot Jacob, and Jacob begot Judah and his brothers." Now, and you may recall that Jacob had two wives, Leah and Rachel. Jacob loved Rachel more than he loved Leah. This caused issues in their family. And if you want to talk about dysfunctional families, the family of Jacob was very dysfunctional. You had favoritism. You remember he brought Joseph the coat of many colors, and his brothers were upset at him because their father bought him that coat. And not only that, Joseph was a dreamer. Joseph was a dreamer. You remember he dreamed. He had a dream, and he told his dreams to his brothers, and he said, "Your sheaves are going to bow down." Now, he's the youngest boy. "Your sheaves are going to bow down to my sheaves." And then he has another dream, and he tells this dream to his mother and father, and now mom and dad are upset at him. Because he says, not only are the sheaves going to be, your sheaves are going to bow down to mine, the sun, the moon, representing the father and the mother, and all the stars are going to bow down for me. And so they were upset then at Jacob and at Joseph, rather. And there was jealousy in the family. Leah was upset because Joseph loved her more. Rachel was upset because she didn't have any children. Leah had children and Rachel did not. And so she gave to Joseph her handmaiden. And Leah did the same thing. And so, but when we look at what was happening in the life of Joseph, we find that all of these things happened for a reason. Something else that happened in the background of Jesus Christ. And again, this is the legal lineage of Jesus. Something else that happened. Look at verse number 3. It says that Judah, who was one of the sons of Jacob, Judah begat Perez and Zerah. These boys were twins, but they were not by his wife. These were sons by his daughter-in-law. But when we study the story of Joseph, and you look at the book of Genesis, in fact, most of the book of Genesis, from Genesis chapter 37 all the way to 50, is about Joseph. And you know, I looked at it and I said, well, why is, you know, studying the story of Joseph, you look at chapter 37, but why is chapter 38 there? You know, that's more about Judah than it is about Joseph. But here we find here the reason in Matthew chapter 1 that Judah is one of the ancestors, the direct ancestors of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, the other thing here is all of these things that happened, they happened for a reason. You remember Joseph's brothers were upset at him, and they put him in a pit. God was with Joseph in that pit. And then Joseph finds himself in prison, put in jail for something that, false accusations, something that he did not do. But again, God was with him in prison. And then Joseph ascends because God was always with him. All these things were happening to him for a reason. He ascends to the number 2 position in Egypt. And you remember while Joseph was in prison, they learned in prison that he interpreted dreams. And then later, Pharaoh had a dream. And then they remembered that there was this guy in prison by the name of Joseph who interpreted dreams, and he interpreted Pharaoh's dream and told Pharaoh how to save his grain, save during the fat years, so that you'll have plenty in the lean years. In fact, the prescription, if you go back and look at it, he said you ought to save 1/5, 20% of all the grain during the good year, so you'll have it during the bad years. So then what happens? And then a little bit later on, when finally there's a famine in the land, Jacob hears that there's grain in Egypt. He sends his boys down there, and they don't know that this is their brother Joseph. And finally, Joseph reveals himself to his brothers. He says, you don't have to feel guilty about what you did to me, because Joseph said to them, you sold me here, But God sent me here. In fact, for your salvation, because of the famine in the land. So we see here then that in the story of the life of Jesus, Joseph, even though he's not listed among the monarchs, when we talk about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, we don't ever mention Joseph, but he's a key. And so all of these things happen to Joseph for a reason in his legal background. Spiritually, for Jesus, there are no issues. In fact, if you look at Ezekiel chapter 18 at verse number 20, the Bible tells us there that the Son does not bear the sins of the Father, and the Father doesn't bear the sins of the Son. And I thank God for that, that my Father won't be held accountable for some of the dumb things that I've done in my life. But then we also find in the book of John, the gospel according to John, that Jesus one day was having a conversation with a group of Jews. He began to talk to them about truth and being free from sin. And they said that we've never been a slave to any man. We're children of Abraham. And you remember in John chapter 8 at verse 58, Jesus pointed out to them, Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. So Jesus was there in the beginning. And then even looking at Hebrews chapter 4 at verse number 15, and I want to read that very quickly, that we find looking there at Jesus Christ, it says this. He says, for we do not have a high priest, talking about Jesus, who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. So yeah, there was a lot of stuff. There was a lot of junk in the background of Jesus Christ. But Jesus lived his life spiritually without sin. Question that I have for you this morning is, do you have skeletons in your closet? Are there some things that you've done, you've said maybe you're not proud of, that maybe you wish you had not have done? Well, I want to suggest that maybe some of those things have happened to you, just like they did to Joseph. They happened to you for a reason. That God had a greater plan. All things, Romans 8:28, all things work together for good for those who love the Lord and those who are called according to his purpose. And so then, I want to just simply say to us is that you don't have to be a prisoner of your past mistakes. A story is told about a man who took a new job driving a taxi cab. Somebody said to me, Brother Barry, that's an old story, a taxi cab, people. People drive for Uber now, but that's the story. He took a new job driving a taxi cab, and he had a passenger, and his passenger tapped him on the shoulder. He turned to the passenger and said, man, don't you ever, he pulled the car over. He said, don't ever do that again. And the man said, well, what's the problem? I just had a question for you. And he said, there's something that you don't understand. See, I just took this new job driving, well, we'll change it, for Uber. But for the previous 30 years, I drove a Hearst. And No one, and none of my passengers ever tapped me on the shoulder. This Uber driver had become a prisoner of the past. And what I'm trying to suggest to you is that you don't have to be a prisoner of your past mistakes. In fact, you can come to Jesus Christ just like you are. It doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter what you've done. Your past mistakes in coming to Jesus Christ don't matter. If you're not a Christian, you can come. If you are a child of God, you can acknowledge those sins and be forgiven of your sins. There's something between you and a brother in Christ. I want to encourage you to get that straight. We can't change the past, but we can do something about the future. You examine your life and look at the direction that it's going in. You can come to Jesus, and you know, folk in the church might hold it against you, but Jesus Christ will not. And what I want to suggest to you, and I'm going to go ahead and get ready to close out right here. Come to Jesus and let him transform your life. And you can do that by spending time on a date. I encourage you to do it on a daily basis, praying to the Father and talking to him. When we pray, we talk to God. When we study the Word, God talks to us. Pray to God and spend time studying your Bible, the Word of God. Remember this: in Christ, your background does not matter. Jesus, the fact that I'm standing here today presenting this message to let you know that Jesus can use anybody to teach his message and to spread the gospel. So this morning, yes, maybe when you check your ancestry, there's some things in there. Or maybe even yourself, you've made some mistakes. But I want you to know, and this is the message that I get from the story of Joseph, that God can bring meaning out of your past. You remember when Joseph forgave his brothers, he said, "You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good." So I want to encourage you, if you need to come to Jesus to do that, and it doesn't matter what's happened in your past and what has happened in your background, Jesus can bring meaning out of your difficult past. Jesus went through pain and suffering to bring meaning out of our lives. Let us pray together, and I'll turn it over to the elders. Father in heaven, we approach your throne of grace at this time with bowed heads and humbled hearts. Father, we know that sometimes when we look at our past and we look at our past mistakes, our past deeds, oftentimes we are ashamed, and oftentimes we are prisoners of things that we have done in the past. Father, I pray that each of us will realize that no matter what type of baggage that we have, that we can come to Jesus. He can use all of us. We're so thankful for him. We're thankful that he came, lived, and died, that we might have life. And it's in his name we do pray. Let us all together say amen. Thank you all so much.
Let's stand and sing. One heart.